I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. When life gets me down, your love can still be found. Lord, I would like to say I thank you. So many times I've failed to thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you've gave to me, for giving your life. Oh, what a sacrifice to save someone like me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. When life gets me down, your love can still be found. Lord, I would like to say I thank you. I thank you for the love that you show to me, for my family and my friends that you've given me, for always being there to show how much you care. Now I just want to say, Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. When life gets me down, your love can still be found. Lord, I would like to say I thank you. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me the way that you do. When life gets me down, your love can still be found. Lord, I would like to say, I would like to say, Lord, I would like to say I thank you.
And don't ever remember reading a text from the book of Nehemiah. That's in your Old Testament. It follows 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Then I believe there's the book of Esther, if I remember right. No, Ezra. And then Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And go with me, if you would, to the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. One verse of scripture. And I want you to listen, and I want God to help you this morning with the word of God. I want God to help me. This sermon has already just tore me apart, literally tore me apart, and I thank him for it. If you don't get blessed, I've done got blessed, and I'm grateful. Nehemiah 8:10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for the day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now I got to read that verse again. This is a powerful verse, talking to Israel at a special occasion. Those special occasions and feasts were a type of what was to come in the Pentecostal church. They really were. God means for us to have the joy of the Lord in our midst. He means for us to worship. And Israel did it as a shadow of what we would do as a reality. Do you understand that, don't you? They had no move of the Holy Ghost among them as we know, as we enjoy. There would be, moments when God would anoint certain men and the Spirit would come upon them, but not in a gentle manner. But here we see a type of what we now enjoy in the fullest. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now may we ask God to let us hear what the Holy Ghost would say this morning. Father, I stand here in complete dependency upon thine anointing. Father, without the sweet work of the Holy Ghost, the words of men are but sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Without the sweet work of the Holy Ghost, there's no power in the things we say, even though they come from thy word. And I claim that anointing of the Holy Ghost this morning, that your servant may obey you and yield himself to you, that the Lord might be magnified. You may be seated. The prophet Nehemiah said it plain. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I would like to preach this morning on the joy of the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Holy Ghost. The Bible is full of the word joy. It appears on numerous occasions, both in the Old and the New Testament. And I can tell you without one moment of hesitation that it's God's business and God's will and God's desire that his people be full of joy. God never intended that Christians would be down in the mouth, down on their luck, the world would say. I don't like that word. God never intended that people would live in the gloomy realm. He intended that his people would rejoice in him, that they would enjoy him, and that he would be the joy of their life. And I began the sermon this morning by asking you a question, and I want you to think of it very seriously before you answer it, because I've had to try to answer it myself. And the question is, do you enjoy God? Do you enjoy God? Do you enjoy the Lord Jesus? Do you enjoy the Holy Ghost? Now, you may answer too quickly. I suspect that would be true many times in many cases. Because when you talk about enjoying God, or enjoying Christ, or enjoying the Holy Ghost, you're talking of something much deeper than just an emotional feeling. You're talking of something much more powerful than just a little prayer time. You're talking about something even bigger than just being in a good church service. You're talking about a time and place where you actually enjoy the Father. Or you enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you enjoy the wonderful Comforter. And as I've looked at my life in light of this sermon, as I've tried to go back and just look at 63 years of serving God, and many times I've been to the woods and pray. Oh yes, I always enjoyed praying in the woods. I have to confess to you, the places I've lived the last few years, there's so many yellow jackets. The last time I went, I got yellow jackets up my pant leg. And I had to run all the way home to get rid of those yellow jackets. And it was not an easy experience. And it really took the heart out of me to want to pray in the woods. I always enjoyed praying in the woods. I love to pray. But I'm looking at my prayer life and wondering how many times, if I would have had more time in that prayer of just enjoying my Father and enjoying my Savior and worshiping and having fellowship with the Holy Ghost, how much greater would have been the result? And how much greater would have been the benefits? I'm not sure I know how to answer that question yet, but I know one thing. From the time I studied this sermon, I've been determined to enjoy my Father as I never have in my life. And to enjoy my Redeemer as I never have in my life. And to enjoy the Holy Ghost as never in my life. Let's talk about them individually. How much do you enjoy the Father? How much do you really enjoy your Heavenly Father? How often do you go to prayer and just get caught up in him and just get entangled in the glory and praise of him until he possesses your mind with beautiful visitation? No wonder Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's how he taught the Lord, the disciples to pray, the Lord Jesus himself. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now they're easy to just be words in your lips and words coming out of your vocal cords, words coming out of your lips. But how long, how often do we pray those words and just get entangled with him? Somebody lift up your hand and tell your Father how much you love him. Would you do that? And just say with the words of Jesus, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I'm telling you, God is worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be enjoyed. God is worthy. You know, often I have friends that come around like Brother Joey Yates, and I'd rather be with that man spending time in fellowship talking about the Bible. We never talk about nothing else. We neither care about guffing. We don't do that. We don't care about fishing. We don't do that. Really, we just don't care about the things of the world. So when we get together, we dig into this Bible and we begin to talk about the latest inspiration that we just got from the Bible. And we begin to talk about this thing about the Bible and this great truth about the Bible. And we just enjoy. And I love the fellowship of Joey Yates. I've got other people whose fellowship I love very dearly. Nobody in the world to match my sweetheart wife. The fellowship together just to get in our car and drive out of town, you know, get out of Dodge and just get out there and just reach over and say, "Honey, you got to hold my hand while we ride. I can't stand it if you don't hold my hand." And just love that fellowship. You know, fellowship is wonderful. But let me tell you, there ain't no such thing as fellowship that matches the Heavenly Father. When you pray until you begin to just literally be in his presence, until the Spirit of God just overshadows you, and you're looking up and you're telling him how much you love him, and you can almost hear it like words, "And how much do I love you, my son? How much do I love you, my daughter?" I'm telling you that the joy of the Lord, I said the joy of the Lord, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the joy of having fellowship with God. The Creator, the one who made us, literally having fellowship with us. And he loves it. I said, God loves fellowship with you. Did you hear me? God loves fellowship with you. And then the Savior who redeemed us, who died on the tree for us, who suffered incredible shame and horror for you. Can you imagine how he must feel hanging almost nude upon that cross with his temple, his body showing mostly? And can you imagine the shame he felt? Can you imagine the shame he felt as they nailed those nails in him and treated him like a common criminal? He could have said, "Don't you understand? I'm the divine Son of God. I was with the Father before the world was. I have had fellowship with the Father throughout all eternity without beginning and without end, and yet you treat me like a common criminal and you hang me here between two thieves. Don't you know who I am?" He could have said that, could have thought that. I doubt he did, because he was dying for you and me, and he endured the cross despising the shame, because he saw down past the shame the redemption of men and women like you and I, and bringing us into his fellowship. Hallelujah. And to have fellowship with him is the joy of your life. We're talking about joy now. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I can tell you, the Holy Ghost effects all of this. The Holy Ghost effects all of this. The Holy Ghost comes to us to make the Father real to us. The Holy Ghost comes to us to make Jesus real to us. The Holy Ghost comes to us to make his comforting power real to us. He wants us so enamored with the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that this world has no effect upon us, that the world can't call us into their wicked pleasures, because we have so so much pleasure. Who needs the pleasure of the world when you got the pleasure of the Father, and you got the pleasure of the Son, and you got the pleasure of the Holy Ghost? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody help me praise Him. Me holy Christ, oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Having fellowship with the Father, having fellowship with the Son, and oh, having fellowship with the Holy Ghost. God sent the Holy Ghost because He knew you were just a weakling. God sent the Holy Ghost because He knew men were nothing but weaklings. Really, we live in a generation that men are the worst weaklings you can imagine. When a man gets sick, a little pain almost destroys him. Watch his wife suffer and feel for her, but knows no ability to handle it like his wife does. I've often heard the saying, if the wife would have the first child and the husband would have the second child, there'd never be a fourth one. You can just about depend on that, because we men are weaklings. But the Holy Ghost came to fill us with a strength. Hallelujah. And that strength is not something that comes out of your flesh, but something that comes from the Comforter, whose name is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something this morning. There's joy in enjoying the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And some of you haven't moved yet. Some of you haven't raised a hand yet. You haven't said, oh, I got to get there. Come on, come on. Let me see how many of you really want to learn to enjoy the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. How many of you want to learn to enjoy the prayer times that you have? How many want to learn to enjoy the times that you get alone with Him and just have a good time with God and a good time with Christ and a good time with the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. You start enjoying God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, you're going to have the kind of joy this Bible talks about, and you're going to be a happy soul. I've got to end something after a while, but I got to mention it here. The greatest tool of witnessing and winning the lost is you being full of joy. The greatest tool of witnessing and winning the lost is you being full of joy. Till you sparkle with the peace of God, and you shine with the luster of the Spirit, and you have a joy, a happiness, a satisfaction. I'm not talking about giddiness. I'm not talking about silliness. I'm not talking about just a bunch of crazy talk. I'm talking about the presence and the joy and the love of the Holy Ghost of God running up and down the avenues of your soul. Hallelujah. There is nothing on the face of this earth like it. Turn your prayer time into times of enjoying the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Don't go to prayer and start asking for something. Go to prayer and start thanking Him for being part of Him. Hallelujah. Oh, raise your hand and worship with me. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. Now, I got to take you to the book of Ephesians, because the Apostle Paul gave us a picture of real joy in the Lord and how it comes about in our life. And he actually gave us 7 principles of biblical joy. 7 principles of biblical joy. You got the book of Ephesians, then go to chapter 5 and then to verse 15. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 15. I'll read it all, and then we'll talk about it a minute. Listen to it carefully. So then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, is that not sound like what I've been saying? Does that not sound like what I've been saying? Hallelujah. That he wants us to learn to joy in him. He wants us to come to him and enjoy him. He wants us to come to him and enjoy what he's done for us. He wants us to come to him and bask in the sunlight of his brilliant love that beams its way by the Holy Ghost upon our hearts and our lives. I love it. I love it. I love it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, as I read this, the Holy Ghost witnessed in my heart that this is the principles of having joy in the Holy Ghost. These are the principles of having joy in the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Holy Ghost don't just fall on somebody accidentally. The joy of the Holy Ghost don't just fall on some pew warmer sitting in the church. The joy of the Holy Ghost don't just fall on somebody because they've got exuberance in their human flesh. The joy of the Holy Ghost comes because right things have been given of the life to the things of God. And so here are seven wonderful principles, and I will kindly name them for you. See then that you walk circumspectly. Walk like a wise man or woman. Live with wisdom in your life. Don't just be careless in the way you live and conduct the life affairs. Learn to live a life that's clean and pure and walk circumspectly. Walk in the ways of God. Walk in the principles of the Bible. If you don't live in the principles of the Bible, there's no way to enjoy God. That's just no way. So the first thing is you learn to walk right. You learn to walk right. You see, you don't have to wait till you feel something to shout as long as you walk right. If you're going to walk straight when you hit the ground, you jump up and praise God when you want to, when you get ready, and wherever you are. Hallelujah. But you got to walk circumspectly. Hallelujah. That's the foundation. That's the foundation. Living by the word of God. Living a wise, circumspect life under the auspices of God. Wonderful. I love it. I love it. I love it. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible says, very carefully redeeming the time because the days are evil. A person who belongs to God is not careless with the clock. Did you hear what I said? The person who belongs to God is not careless with the clock. You're careful with your time. You're careful with your time. You don't want to waste your time. You don't want to spend it in some kind of foolish stuff that has no meaning. You want your time to be given to God, redeeming the days, the time, because the days are evil. I just believe that is one of the most wonderful principles in this Bible. I never could stand wasting my time. No, no, no. I only have one life to live, will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Did you hear me? Only have one life soon to pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. My daddy taught me a principle. I'll never forget. If a job is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor, great or small, do it well or not at all. If you haven't learned that, you need to learn that. That's circumspect living. That's living with a careful view of time. Don't waste your time. Don't spend your time in junk. I get amazed at preachers today. They'd rather play golf than anything you can imagine. I never forget when I was working to clean pornography up off of Wilkerson Boulevard. A bunch of preachers was out on the golf course one day playing golf. And one of them was talking about me. He was telling everybody what a sorry pastor I was, spending my time out there trying to clean up pornographic shops instead of working for the church. And somebody looked at him and said, "Sir, do you realize what you're doing?" He said, "What? You're playing golf. You're wasting a lot more time he's wasting." I never heard from that dude again. I can imagine that was a closer. I want to tell you something. Be careful with your time. Use it for God's glory. Don't stop there. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. Do you know what God's will is for your life? Have you discovered by prayer and fasting and reading this Bible what God's called you to be and what God's called you to do? How about you fellas, Sister Yvette? Are you asking God, Jordan, to show you his will in your life? Kind of settle down there, little fella, and start asking God to show you what his will for your life is. And settle yourself into that will that God has chosen for you. The same, Sister Jeanette, and all of you adults, find the will of God for your life. You'll never have joy in the Holy Ghost if you don't even know what God pleases for your life. I mean to believe that. You need to know what God's called you to be, what God's called you to do. You say, well, I've asked him, he hadn't told me. You just keep on asking him. You get yourself in a place of utter abandonment. You let him know you'll go anywhere he sends you. And you'll do anything that pleases him. And you'll live any way he wants you to live. And that you are utterly committed to his will. And then he will show you his will. Have you ever asked a thought of why a car going down the highway at night has lights that only shine, how far, Brother Marlon? 100 feet? How far do lights shine at night from your car? 100 feet? Why don't they shine 500 feet? Well, because you'd completely destroy the eyes of the man who's facing you, for one thing, but you only need to see far enough to drive carefully the distance between you and the end of those lights. That's what your life is. That's what life is. Well, I want to tell you, that's what it is in the Bible. God will only show the light to you that are walking in the light you've already got. If you have 20 feet of light from the Bible, you walk in that 20 feet of light. And you do it with all your heart. And I'll guarantee you, there's 10 more and 20 more and 50 more and 100 more feet ahead of you that he will show you as you arrive at the end of what you now are doing. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Hallelujah. And he'll show you the pathway in front of you right down the road. It will never be late. Hallelujah. Oh, what a God we serve. So number three, walk in the light. Live according to the light you've been given. And then he says very carefully, notice it please, and be not drunk with wine. Don't take substance in your body to hype you up. We don't believe in drinking wine. We don't believe in drinking liquor. We don't believe in smoking cigarettes and smoking cigars. We don't believe in chewing tobacco. You say, why don't you believe in none of that stuff? Because it's nothing but a substance to try to give you a high to lift you over your malaise and your sorry feeling. And it lifts you up and then it drops you down. And let me tell you something. I've been noticing lately, you go into a 7-Eleven and there's all these strong drinks that are supposed to boost you up and give you the ability to keep on working for another couple of hours. I wouldn't put one of them things in my body. You couldn't pay me to put one of those things in my stomach. There is no way. I got the joy of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I can face whatever is down the road, whatever's in front of me. I don't need to be boosted up. Hallelujah. I don't need something to prop me up out of my malaise. I've got a holy God who walks up and down the corridors of my life. I can feel him going up and down the avenues of my soul. I can feel him in every fiber. Woo, can you feel him? Hallelujah. What a God. Hey, some of you, can you feel him? Oh, you can't? Well, raise your hand if you can feel him. Come on, raise a hand. Is he real to you? Do you know? Somebody shout for me. You good at it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't need some drunken substance. Only a fool puts that stuff in his stomach. You understand that? It's crazy. I don't guess there's nobody here that needs to hear this, but if you are, it's for you, okay? Hallelujah. I'm just giving you what the Holy Ghost gave me. Praise the name of the Lord. But once you get past that, then what do? You start singing psalms and hymns and spiritual singing songs, making melody in your heart with the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't think some of you have ever done that in your life. You don't know what it is to get so full of the Holy Ghost. You start singing in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I do it all the time anymore. It just comes real and it's so genuine. Hallelujah. Going down the highway, singing in the Holy Ghost. Walking through the grocery store. I like to go to Trader Joe. That's where the yuppies go. Anybody know who yuppies are? They're the money folks. I like to go through there singing in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. You say, Brother Chambers, are you put on? No, siree. I feel every word of it. I feel every touch of it. I just believe it's real to live in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe it's real to sing in the Holy Ghost. How long has it been since you joyed in the Holy Ghost? That's joying in the Holy. That's what that is, brother. When you're praising and shouting and praying in the Holy Ghost, you're joying in the Holy Ghost. How many believe that? Come on, do you really believe that? How long? How long? How much? Come on, church. I'm talking about enjoying God. I know I'm enjoying Jesus. I know I'm enjoying the Holy Ghost. Man, I like that. It says something to me. I don't never remember saying those words ever in my life. All these 63 years, I don't remember it. But I know one thing. The Holy Ghost poured it in me early this morning that we've got to learn to joy in the Lord. We've got to learn to enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord Jesus. Enjoy the Holy Ghost. Enjoy the blessings of God. They're real. They're real. They're real. I'm telling you, they're real. And when you start enjoying the blessings of God, you're going to have such joy that you're going to become stronger and the strength of God will be upon you. Hallelujah. And you can enjoy everything that belongs to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Excuse me for yelling. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Number six is giving thanks. Oh boy. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Is that not wonderful? Is that not part of the joy of the Lord? Giving thanks. Giving thanks. And then number seven. Oh, I got too much here. Giving thanks and then submitting yourselves one to another. Now, really, I really like preaching this to you. You know, I've watched through the years. People are so independent. We live in an independent era. I mean, the word independent is not even in the Bible. Did you know that? That word never shows up in the Bible, not one time. Now, maybe these new corrupt versions. I'm talking about the real Bible. Never shows up. The word independent. And I'm going to tell you, an independent person will never have the pleasure of the joy the Holy Ghost wants to give you. There's just no room for independence. I'm so dependent on you. I'm so dependent on Brother Marlon and Brother Ken. Brother Pendleton and others of you, I'm so dependent on you, Sister Lucille. I'm so dependent on you, Sister Judy, Sister Ginger, Sister Andra, oh, especially Juanita. I'm so dependent upon you. I just believe that God's people ought to be so dependent upon each other and upon the body of Christ that you don't want to be nowhere but in the body, with the body, in the church, with the church. You want to be tied up, tangled all up with the things of God and the people of God, because you are not independent. Woo, I just believe I could preach that for an hour. Hallelujah. I don't know. Oh, there's no room for independence. We got a church world that's so independent. They don't want you to tell them nothing. If they're doing the worst thing you can imagine and you tell them about it, they get angry with you. I ain't going back to that church. He hurt my feelings. You need your feelings hurt if you're independent and bullheaded and doing your own thing until you get this life under the control of the Holy God. You know why sinners are not coming to Christ? Very, very seldom these days. Everybody's begging for sinners saved. And it's just scary. Scary. Because the world has become so independent that nobody wants nobody to tell them. They don't even want God to tell them nothing. But when you get so independent, you don't want God to tell you nothing. And the Holy Ghost tries to visit you and tries to witness to you and tries to talk to you, and you get disturbed. I loved going to that church as long as I could enjoy the music and feel the shout and the glory. But one Sunday, they got down where the rubber meets the road, and I started feeling that there's some things about my life need changing, and I decided to go somewhere that's more comfortable for me. Does that not sound like this church world today? Well, I want to tell you something. You need to go where somebody tells you what's wrong, and you listen, and you give your life to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These 7 points will bring you to joy. These 7 places will bring you to joy. They are principles of joy, and they work every time, and you can have joy to the fullest. Just shout back there, Marilyn. Hallelujah. 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 It's around my belief. You ought to stand up, everybody in this building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not through preaching, and I may finish, but I may not. It doesn't matter to me. Hallelujah. How many can say, I want him? Raise your hand and tell him you want him. Surrender your life to him. Give up your own plain ways and your own independent thinking, and be willing to come under the authority of a church and a man of God and the Holy Ghost. I didn't know the Bible could be so sweet as it is to me this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God brought somebody here to change you this morning. Did you hear me? God brought somebody here to change you this morning. God brought somebody here to change you this morning. Holy Christ, some of us, I got a whole nother page on the backside there. Hallelujah. Jesus said twice, he wants you to have joy to the fullest. He wants you to have joy to the fullest. Please come to that organ. I want you to play at the cross, where I first saw the light. First song we sung this morning is one of my favorite anymore. At the cross. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, Father, I preached from my heart this morning this wonderful beauty of a life that joys in the Lord. A life that joy is in the Lord. And I'm willing to surrender myself under the authority of my pastor. I'm willing to surrender myself under the authority of the house of God, the body of Christ. I want to give it all to God. Now, if you need to be saved, if you need to be saved, if you got sin in your life and you're ready to repent and turn from it, leave your pew quickly. Don't let the devil talk you out of it and head for this altar. Will you? I'm coming. Quickly come. Quickly come. Father, you know exactly what's needed in this house this morning. I preach the word of God from the deep of my heart. I don't know how to preach it any more plain. I don't know how to preach it any more clear. Father, may somebody come to know him in the grace and righteousness of the cross. Thank God for Sister Marilyn shouting, but she needed to be in the altar. She knows why. I don't. Doesn't matter that we don't know, but as long as she and God takes care of it. Now, you need to pray. Leave your pew and come quickly. You need to pray. You need to pray. Leave your pew and come quickly. Kneel right here at this altar. Come quickly. Don't wait around. Just come in the name of the Lord. I'm coming. I'm ready to surrender me. I'm ready to put me on the altar. No more playing games. No more doing my own thing. I'm ready to follow the Lord utterly and completely and totally. Would you come? He's calling you. He's calling you. He's really calling you. I said he's calling somebody else that hadn't come yet. I'm calling you to come. God bless you. God bless you. Come quickly. I've got to have me a place to put all of me on the altar. I've got to come under this divine joy. I want to live in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will be my strength, and I'll find great strength like I've never had before as I come. Hallelujah. 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 Come on and pray with all your heart. Hallelujah. Play it out, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The cross at the cross. Hallelujah. Of Mohaya. Hallelujah. 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 Mike, give it all to God. I don't know what your need is, but I know he'll meet it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father, for these precious lives in the altar. I believe you for Mike this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. I surrender everything. I turn from everything in my life that has no business there. Are you doing that, Mike? Are you repenting of sin? Hallelujah. Are you ready to be saved? You came to this altar the other time you came. But you're ready this morning, are you? I'm ready to follow you, Lord. I'm ready to go all the way with Jesus. Father, work a miracle. Work a miracle in Mike's life. Hallelujah. I'm tired of everything the world is. Hallelujah. I believe you for Susan, Lord. Work a miracle in Susan.